Welcome everyone here this evening. It's good to see all y'all here. It's good to have all the kids in the back. And Isaac hit me up about coming and doing this. And last thing I want to do is stand up in front of people and talk. One-on-one, no problem. A small group. But when everybody's looking at you, all of a sudden, room kind of gets hot. You know, but he asked me if I'd do it, and I said, well, you know, if you can find someone else, go ahead. It ain't going to hurt my feelings. So day goes by, and he's like, man, would you do it? And I'm like, well, yeah, you can look, you know, you got a few more days, see if you can find someone else. Then after the third time he hit me up, I'm like, well, I guess I will. He goes, I told him, I said, man, I can have like an hour, hour and a half of something to say, and it gets said in about 10 minutes. I don't know how that works, but it does. And he said, well, he said, just tell everyone, if you get done early, stick around in here till about at least 15 till. He said, that gives the teachers in back time to get through their lesson and work with the kids back there. So when we wrap it up early, just hang out here for a little bit. But now whenever he asked me to bring a lesson, you know, I got to thinking, you know, what do I know pretty good that I could stand up here and tell y'all about? And I thought about it. I come up with a subject that I knew quite a bit about, been doing it since I was a kid. And a lot of times I can do it, not even know I'm doing it. But when I look at someone else, I can see it right off the bat. And it's sin. You know, it's something that you battle daily with it. And, you know, as you study the Bible, you learn more and more about what you're not supposed to do, what you are supposed to do. And as you go through the Bible and you look at, you know, different people and their sin and the result of it, you know, it really makes me appreciate His long-suffering and His mercy. Because, you know, to God, sin's sin. When you sin, it's against Him. It don't matter if it's a small white lie, if it's murder. Sin is sin. And you know, when I think of God, at Him being almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful, you know, mercy and long-suffering really don't come into mind. But when I think of Him, you know, as our Heavenly Father, and we're His children, then the mercy, long-suffering, you know, those things start kind of coming to me. And, you know, one verse has always kind of stuck with me, and it's Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus, God, The same one in the Old Testament is the same God today. He's no different. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, God of the Old Testament is God of wrath. Well, the God of the New Testament's love. Well, God's God. He's exactly the same before He created this world, as in the Old Testament, as the New Testament, as when this earth is burned up in a fervent heat and we go through eternity. And, you know, when I start studying the Scripture and I see, you know, where people have sinned and how God dealt with them, you know, you can't really say, well, that's Old Testament. You know, hey, He's the same. He could deal with me exactly the way He dealt with some of these that I'm fixing to go through and look at. And, you know, it kind of scares you. I mean, because He is so almighty, all-powerful, and, you know, He could remove His protection from us at any time. And, like, say, if He does that, the world would just consume us. But I was going to start tonight in, of course, Genesis. We'll go to Genesis 3 and 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. All right? That was the only thing that they could not do. I mean, they're living in the Garden of Eden. Everything was nice. And basically, God told them, you know, the only thing you cannot do is eat of this one tree. Well, being human, we're going to give in. I mean, so, of course, they ate of the fruit of the tree. And immediately, you know, God told them they would die, and they did. They died spiritually right then and there. Just like when we reach the age of accountability and we sin, we're separated from Him. And the only way we can be reconciled is, you know, through His blood. And, you know, after they ate of the tree and, you know, they died spiritually, then we kind of look at the results of it. On 3 and, let's see, 15, this is what the punishment to the woman was, or whatever you want to call it. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and it shall bruise thy heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to the husband, and he shall be ruler over thee. And then on his, be 17 through 19, and to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I have commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return into the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. All right? Pretty big punishment for eating a fruit. I mean, you know, I can think of a lot worse things I've done in my life than eat fruit. I mean, it just, you know, whatever God says don't do, we do. We've sinned against Him. You know, there's a penalty to pay. And, you know, sometimes He'll give us a little leeway. And, you know, any parent wants their son or daughter to self-correct. You know, if they're messing up, you know, you want to see them come to their senses and you know, get back on the right track. If they don't, you got to jerk that chain. You got to whip them, whatever you do to keep them in line. And, you know, our Father in heaven is no different than a father here on earth. You know, if you've got more than one child, then you know that every child is different. To discipline them, what works with one won't work with the other. And we're no different. You know, God knows that some of us, when we mess up, He'll give us a little leeway to straighten up. Some of us, He knows, like me, I'm hard-headed. He's got to get on me pretty quick, keep me on the straight and narrow. And, you know, you kind of see that when you go over to, you know, Cain and Abel. And Genesis 4 and verse 3, and it says, in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. All right? Cain knew what type of offering to bring. Abel knew. You know, Abel brought a blood offering, and God was happy with it. Cain had a little bit of pride. He wanted to bring forth, you know, his own righteousness, basically. And God said, no account. And But we see here where God didn't punish him. God didn't, you know, he just told him, I'm not happy with you. Well, Cain had a decision, you know. He could either, you know, trade some crops for, you know, a lamb or whatever and bring the right offering or whatever, but he didn't do that. He doubled down on his sin. And we see over here in, let's see. In verse number 8, it says, and Cain talked with Abel's brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel's brother and slew him. Okay? God gave him a leash, gave him some room. He sinned. He brought the wrong offering. You know, he was going to let him, you know, give him time to self-correct. He went the total opposite direction. He doubled down on his sin. Of course, then, you know, that's when God disciplined him. And verse 11 says, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You know, he didn't think about all this before. You know, he was mad, upset, you know. He had a choice to make. He could either repent, get right with God, but he decided to go the opposite direction. Now, you know, his punishment comes. He doesn't like it, you know. And it said, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from the face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and vagabond on the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. That still shows God's loving and merciful. Amen. I mean, even after he sinned, bring the wrong offering, he killed his brother, he still had mercy on him. You know, and it goes back, you know, I keep thinking, you know, Hebrews 13 and 8. God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You know, you can look all through the scripture. You can see where he'll discipline his children, and you can see where he'll have mercy. I mean, and, you know, it just, it's amazing how good he is. And then I want to go over to Joshua chapter 6 and verse 18 and 19. And everybody knows the story of Jericho. You know, Joshua is leading the Israelites. They come up to Jericho, and God basically tells them, you know, I'm going to let you have this city, but all the spoils go into the treasury of the Lord's. Nobody's supposed to take anything. It's all for the Lord. And it says, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the cursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the cursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So he told them, he said, y'all's not to touch anything. When y'all go in and take this city over, everything goes into the treasury of the Lord's house. And we see where Achan, he couldn't resist. See, Achan 7 and 1, but the children of Israel committed the trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, and the son of Zebedee, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. All right. Then you know, then again, God told them, I'm going to give you this city. Don't touch anything. And it only took one guy disobeying, and we see the results of it in, 7:4. So there went up thither of the people out 3,000 men. Well, what happened was after they took over Jericho, the next city they were going to take over is Ai. They sent some scouts up there, looked at it. Scouts come back and said, hey, 2,000 or 3,000 men, and we can own this city. So let's just go in there and take it. So Joshua sent 3,000 up there. And verse 4 it says, so there went up thither the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even into Shebram, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. All right? Because of one man's sin, 36 men died. You know, you always hear the saying, no man's an island unto himself. Because of this one sin, it cost 36 men their life, probably 36 widows, children without dads, all because of sin. I mean, it, you know, it's like, you know, leaven in the yeast. I mean, whenever you let sin into your life, it don't just affect one little thing. It affects everything. Your spouse, it'll come between y'all two. Whoever you work with, people at church. I mean, it affects all aspects of your life. And, you know, this right here, and going back to, you know, Hebrews 13:8, God the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You know, if I allow sin in my life, it could affect my family, church members. I mean, you know, it affected these 36 men. It cost them their lives. And, you know, it kind of like the song Aaron sings, sin will take you further than you want to go. Every time. I mean, and even if it's, you know, going back to sin, it don't matter how small or how big. You know, a lot of times we want to have a little sin over here. Well, the whole world's doing it, you know. I know some church people, they're doing this too. It ain't that bad, you know. So when we go to the Lord in prayer, we don't even mention that. But then if you look at Psalm 66:18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So, you know, it doesn't say he won't hear me on the things that I kind of want for myself, but he'll still hear me praying for this sick person or this lost person. My Bible says he won't hear me at all. So, you know, when we go to the Lord in prayer, and we need to come clean with everything. But the bad thing about coming clean with everything is then we got to recognize we've got sin. Then we got to deal with it. And a lot of times we want to harbor that sin. We want to keep it. We want to try to put it over here in a little box and, you know, take it out and play with it every now and then. But you can't do that. It affects your whole life. It affects everything. And, you know, Achan probably never even thought, man, this is going to cost 36 men their life. But even what's worse than that, it gets worse for Achan. We go down to, let's see. Chapter 7, verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord, God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. He stole it and couldn't even use it. Had to hide it. Wasn't even doing him any good. Worthless. And it still cost these 36 men their life. And then, you know, it goes on in 24 and 25 says, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zathar, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all thee and all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. That's pretty tough. I mean, you know, not only did they kill the 36 men, you know, die of it, they took him and all his family and killed him. And I mean, you know, and this was, you know, God ordering it. I mean, this was their punishment for their sin. And, you know, this was for stealing something he wasn't even using, couldn't even bring it out. I mean, and, you know, you start looking at that, and I start looking then again at the sin of my life, stuff that I've done. You know, there's so many different stories in the Bible where, you know, of course, we want to classify our sin. Then again, a little small, white lie. You know, and then there's major ones, and, you know, we don't want to stay away from these, but these, you know, we can kind of play with. Well, it's not that way with God. It's all against him. And every time we go against him, like say, there's a penalty there. Like say, he would lot rather for us to come back in to his grace and repent, you know. But then another thing, one to look at was in Acts chapter 5. Five and verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. All right. You know, he sold it. And basically lied about bringing all the money to the church. Don't seem that bad, does it? A little white lie, you know. He gave most of it. He just kept a little bit back. Yeah, severe enough, God killed him. Amen. I mean, you know, no one's subject to the evasion of a penalty. I mean, you know, that. And like I say, it just amazes me. It is his mercy in my life, because I promise you, I've done worse than a white lie about how much I tied to the church. I mean, my goodness, you know. But then this goes back to God, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's still the same. I mean, you know, he ain't beyond killing me for one of my sins. You know, and The main point I want to get across is, you know, when we go to the Lord in prayer, we need to go over all of our sins, bring them forward. You know, that means we're going to have to deal with them. I mean, because once you bring it up to the Lord, you know, you can't be planning on doing it tomorrow. I mean, that's not repentance. When you come to him and you say, yeah, I'm sorry for doing this, in the back of your mind, you're thinking about doing it tomorrow. That's not repentance. Repentance is turning from. And like I say, no matter how small it is or how big it is, sin. And like I say, it affects everything. It don't, you know, nobody can just keep it in a little box and bring it out every now and then. It doesn't work that way. But, well, that's all I've got. So I don't know where Dean is. Or there he is. If you want to come up and close it out, I'll let you.
Oh, one more thing. Does anybody have a flatbed trailer for a float, Christmas float? Or know if anybody's got one? If you do, Gil has it. He's wanted to do it.